live in the light, just as He is in the light, we have unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, continues to cleanse us from every sin. One of the things that our little finite minds cannot comprehend is that before the world was, before man set foot on this earth, this God's creation, that God had determined that His Son would be made a sacrifice for our sins. We have problems understanding that. We have problems grasping the depths of such a truth as that. That before man was created, God had already made provision for the sin question. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, perhaps we should begin reading with verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Staggering, isn't it? That just as He chose us in Him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world. And then turning over to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. John writes, "All who dwell on the earth will worship Him," that is, the beast, "whose names have not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that those who, of the great multitude gathered around the Son of God, as we find recorded in Revelation 5, the great multitude from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, look upon that Lamb that as though it had been freshly slain, will realize afresh that this actually took place. Not only at Calvary, it did there. That's where it was completed. But in the mind of God, it was accomplished before the foundation of the world. Now when we realize this, I think we will come to a fuller understanding and appreciation of God's grace, the riches of His grace that are unveiled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man is prone to think that there is something perhaps he can do to either add a little bit to His salvation, or at least that by some things that He does, He is worthy of. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Until the sinner comes to the place where he realizes his total depravity, his total undone condition, and realizes that it is all of grace, nothing of self, nothing of man, I don't think he can ever really appreciate the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. In Ephesians 2:8, that passage that well describes the grace of God, our salvation, says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I hope that we will see in this message the illustrations that we will draw both from the Old Testament and the New. Salvation is of God from beginning to end. It's all of God. You see, it was in His plan before we ever set foot here. We did not deserve it, and we have not done anything to earn it. It's all out of the riches of His grace. And I marvel the more I get into the Old Testament and look at the sacrifices that God commanded Israel to make. The description of the sacrifices, all the details of the sacrifices. I find more and more it's all of His grace. It's all of His grace. Marvelous grace. Because, beloved, God even provided the sacrifices. He provided the animals of sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22, a very precious passage of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, Abraham said to his son Isaac, who is ready for the offering, Isaac has said, "My father," verse 7, "My father," he said, "here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" You see, God had commanded Abraham to take his son Isaac, to take the wood, the fire, and all that was essential to offer a burnt offering unto God, and go into a place that He would appoint. Go into yonder mountain and offer his son as a sacrifice. You're called that Abraham obeyed. And he went to some distance. The third day, he saw the place afar off. And he told the young man with him, said, "You stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Oh, great man of faith. We're going to go worship, and we'll come back. But God is asking him to offer his son. That faith is beyond my comprehension. So they took the wood and the wood of the burnt offering. And he noticed in verse 6 it says, "And he laid the wood upon Isaac his son." Abraham didn't carry it. He laid even the wood upon which the son would be offered and he would be sacrificed. He laid that on his back. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they two went together. It was then that Isaac said, "My father, we have all the things necessary, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide." Notice, he didn't say, "God will provide for me." He didn't say, "God will provide for you." God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. This is God's offering. The burnt offering was for the Lord. And he said, "God will provide for himself." So the two went on together, we read. Verse 9 tells us that Abraham built an altar there. And he placed the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac upon it. And he laid him on the altar. And verse 10 says, "And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord," the angel of Jehovah, Yahweh if you please, "the angel of the Lord called to Abraham, called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me.'" You see, in God's sight, Abraham had not withheld his son. In God's sight, his son had been offered. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes. Notice, Abraham lifted up his eyes. God is going to carry out his plan. It wasn't as though there was nothing to be done. Now, Abraham, you can go down out of the mountain. No. God is going to keep his word. There was a sacrifice to be made. There was an offering to be made. And he's going to see it carried through. But God made provision. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Yes, God made provision for that offering. If we were to turn to Leviticus chapter 1, we see that God later gave a description of that burnt offering. Now, I just mentioned this because I want us to notice that so many people reflect back on the law, even today, and think that there were people saved by keeping the law. The law never saved anyone. The law could never save one. And we're told in Hebrews, the New Testament, that the blood of bulls and goats could never wash away our sins, could never take away our sins. But these are sacrifices and offerings that God designates. But notice, Abraham was getting ready to offer a burnt offering long before the Lord ever spoke to Moses, as we find recorded here in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord speaks to Moses, and he's telling him to speak to the children of Israel, and that they're to bring an offering to the Lord. Verse 3 says, and if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Turning over to verse 10, he says, if his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. God's very specific. Did you notice what Abraham saw as he turned and looked behind him? Caught in the thickets, his horn caught in the thickets. There's the ram. A male. Without blemish. Obviously, he's without blemish. God would have accepted nothing less. God never provides a sacrifice with a blemish. The sacrifices that God provided were always without blemish. A picture of his own dear son, who would be the only sacrifice accepted of God. God made such provision for Adam and Eve. He doesn't tell us what kind of an animal that was slain there after Adam and Eve sinned. But in Genesis 3:21 we read, also for Adam and his wife, not for one but for both, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics or coats of skin and clothed them. The Lord doesn't bother to give us the details concerning the slaying of that animal. It could well have been slain in the very sight of Adam and Eve. They could well have seen the bloodshed. But it was obvious that they realized that they were clothed as a result of the sacrifice. They were covered as a result of the sacrifice of another. God made provision for Abraham and for Isaac, a male without blemish. Now, we won't take time to go into the details of the various sacrifices and the offerings that God described and prescribed there in the book of Leviticus. But there's another sacrifice, however, that I do want to give some attention to. And we'll skip over to Leviticus, where we would think that we would normally look for a description and prescription of the sacrifices offered. But we turn to Numbers chapter 19, and we find another sacrifice that seems to be in a most unusual setting. This sacrifice was not mentioned back there when God was giving the prescription to Moses to hand on to the children of Israel. Israel has already moved on into the wilderness. They're a wilderness people. They're a sojourning people. And now, verse 1 of Numbers 19, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of the blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal or dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet, and cast it in the midst of the fire burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification, for it is for purifying from sin." And he goes on to explain later on, like in verse 13, the reason for this is, if anyone touches the body of anyone who has died, and also in verse 14, if a man dies in his tent, all who comes in of that tent shall be unclean. And anyone who is in the field touches one who has been slain with the sword, who has died, or if he even touches the bone or a grave of a person, he shall be considered unclean. And verse 17 says, "And for an unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin, and running water shall be put in a vessel. And the person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent and on all the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touches a bone, the ones and the slain, the dead, or the grave. The person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and in evening he shall be clean." It's interesting to note that God has already prescribed in the past the sacrifices that were to be made for sin. Of course, the very vivid one that stands out, the one that was instituted before they left Egypt, was the Passover lamb. the Lord told them how that they were to select this lamb, how that it was to be slain. The blood was to be sprinkled on the doorposts and on the lintels. And that Passover lamb, that was to be kept. We pass on over further, and we get into the book of Leviticus, and also we find the sacrifices that were to be made throughout that period of time, and the one that was to be offered on the Day of Atonement. God revealing to them that provision had been made for their forgiveness. And yet it had to be kept up repeatedly or annually. Some of the sacrifices and offerings daily. And some on various occasions, but the Day of Atonement, the Passover was once a year. The Day of Atonement was once a year. This was a reminder of to the people that they continued to sin, and God had made provision for them. He kept before them the necessity for the shedding of blood. Now it's easy for us to grasp that on this side of the cross, on this side of Calvary, we have the scriptures that tell us clearly that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin, but only the blood of Christ could offer forgiveness and cleansing. Now, I think there are some very valuable lessons for us here. Quite often, we have said, as others have said, we find the doctrine in the New Testament and we turn to the Old Testament for an illustration. And that is true here. The doctrine of cleansing, the doctrine of forgiveness through the shed blood of a sacrifice, has already presented very clearly to Israel. But Israel continued to sin. While they're sojourning in the territory, they're still touching sin. You remember that God had allowed them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they could go into the land to possess it. And the reason is that all of them from the age of 20 up, were going to die in the wilderness. They could not escape death. Man has never been able to escape death. It is appointed in the man once to die. Death is inevitable. Death is a result of sin. It is appointed unto man once to die, remember. And remember through in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death has passed into all, for all have sinned. Every time we look death in the face, we're reminded of sin. That it was through sin that death was introduced. Death came into the world. And we have seen how that God has made ample provision for the sinner who would trust Him. Who would simply trust God that He's made provision through a sacrifice, through the shedding of blood, to cover him and his sin. But now as Israel journeys through the wilderness, they cannot keep from coming in contact with death. It was inevitable. They were constantly in contact with death. And so God has made provision for them in a special way here. That's why we find this offering or this sacrifice of the red heifer introduced later on. The sacrifices, as we've said, for sin have already been introduced. They should have already understood them. But now, as they go through life, they're going to continue to be contaminated by death, by sin. Now, I would like for us to think of this as we might make an application in our own Christian lives today. We'll develop this more next time. But sufficient to say that is, as we sojourn on this wilderness journey that we walk day after day through this life, we're constantly coming in contact with that which is contaminated by sin. It is as though we're coming in touch with, we're rubbing shoulders with death day by day. And we cannot escape the fact of death. We find ourselves touching that, coming in contact with that which is obnoxious to God, sin. God has made provision for that. And that's what we were reading there a moment ago in 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7. Let's turn back to that and reread it. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us, or continues to cleanse us from all sin. The ashes of the red heifer are typical in this respect. You see, this is the only sacrifice that God had prepared for Israel to take care of future sin and future defilement. The ashes of this red heifer was to be stored in a jar and kept outside the camp. And it was used on the occasions when a person came in contact with death. Some of the ashes were taken with water and mixed with water and sprinkled on the person who had been contaminated or who had come in touch with death. And I think that that was is symbolic, too, of the believer's need for continuous cleansing. Those Israelites couldn't avoid that. They couldn't escape the death. And how can we, as we sojourn here, escape the contact with death, the result of sin? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." These things I write to you so that you may not sin. God didn't want Israel to sin. He doesn't want us to sin. But there is the fact that we do sin. And so John goes on to say, and if anyone sins, as to the Israelites, if anyone does come in contact with the dead, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Yes, provision has been made. We don't intend to sin. We don't want to sin. But if we do sin, provision has been made. Once again, it is God who has made the provision. When Abraham was up there on the mountain with his son said, "Father, everything is prepared, but where is the sacrifice?" And he says, "God will provide for Himself." Now, God made provision for this red heifer. And we'll take that up next time. We'll talk about the uniqueness of this red heifer. The only animal that would be accepted for this particular sacrifice. But there are some very precious truths that are brought out in this. But how we can see as we look back from the Old Testament to the New, Do we see this thread of redemption, of God's provision for our cleansing from beginning to end? All of His grace. By grace have you been saved through faith, this not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. Remember Paul told the Galatians how that when the fullness of time came, at God's appointed time, He sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem those who were under the law. So, may we just close today with the thought that God has made provision for our cleansing. Just as the blood of Jesus Christ, it says, keeps on cleansing. We don't have the ashes of the red heifer anymore. They're not necessary anymore for our cleansing. We don't trust in them. When we've come in touch with death, when we've become contaminated with sin, we don't trust that anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, keeps on cleansing us from sin. How we ought to thank Him and praise Him for that. Our Father, how we thank You this morning for the knowledge of forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in His death at Calvary, He put an end to all the sacrifices that were to be offered, that there's no more need for the slaying of animals, for as we read, they could never, never take away our sin, but they simply pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. We're thankful that there was found in Him all the sufficiency to meet our needs, that in Him alone the sin debt could be paid and settled. So we're thankful, our Father, that we can trust Him not only for the forgiveness of our past sins, but the forgiveness of the sins that we will commit even in the future. We're thankful to know that He is thoroughly capable and His blood is sufficient to cleanse from all our sin. Accept our thanks for Him, and grant that we may go forth determining more and more to keep ourselves as much as possible separated from that contamination, that we be careful about touching that which is dead, as it were, that we will be careful to live a life holy to the glory of our blessed Savior. We ask in His worthy name. Amen.